We need to bow our heads for a moment. Father, without you, we will fail miserably. But with you, we can do all things, because you within us empowers us, transforms us, and heals and sets us free. And all of God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I want to take you to, we're going to be going to two places. We're going to be in John chapter 1. But we're also going to be touching Isaiah 11. The Holy Spirit began to work on me Friday night. Now, Friday night, he started to push my buttons. And I also know how to listen. As best I know how, I listen. But, you know, when you and I get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is what I was sharing with you earlier about the difference between the natural family and the families that you know in the natural versus the spiritual family, which transforms the inner man. And when there's a connection with those that are of the Holy Spirit, you know that you can greet them, but it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different anointing and awareness. Now, Isaiah in chapter 11 is prophesying. And he's prophesying about the coming of the one who is going to change all of Israel. Verse 1 says, "And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, David's father." This is, I'm using the Amplified. "A branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." I would say the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest in him. "The Spirit of wisdom," number one. "The Spirit of understanding," number two. "The Spirit of counsel," number three. "The Spirit of might," number four. "The Spirit of knowledge," number five. "Reverential and obedience, fear of the Lord." You see, multiples of levels, anointings to make you grow. Verse 3, "And shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in reverential, obedient fear of the Lord." Then it says, "And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears." So those of you who are relying on your eyes and on your natural ears, what do you think you're going to get? What are you going to get?
Natural responses.
Very fleshy, natural responses. Just like the rest of the world, you're going to act and react and say you're a Christian, but you're not going to impact your neighborhood. You're not going to impact your family. In fact, you're going to be what you've always been, flesh. Yes, you've got a seed inside of you, but if you don't let that seed grow, what have you got? Nothing. And so, you see, Jesus did not remain the way he was for the first 30 years of his life when the Holy Spirit came upon him. And if you've remained the same since you received the Holy Spirit, what are you doing? Thank you. So now, see, Isaiah's prophesying, and he's letting you know that the one to come will have these qualities within him. Verse 4, "But with righteousness and justice shall he judge the poor and decide with fairness for the meek, the poor and the downtrodden of the earth. And he shall smite the earth and the oppressors with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." That's coming down the road. He gave us a sample of that when he cleaned out the temple a couple of times. He took out a whip. And he let them know that this house was to be a house of prayer for all nations. Not just any kind of house. Your house, your temple, your personal body should be a house of prayer for all nations and all nationalities. So where your prejudices are, they need to be removed. Yesterday afternoon, we're celebrating my friend's birthday. And it's just about time for some food. One of his neighbors, where we were, he has a niece that is married to a doctor, and they live in Somers, Connecticut. Now, I never met this man, but he was very dark in color. And he came because he is invited to Gary's birthday. And when he walked in, of course, let's face it, there's all these pale faces around, and he's definitely outstanding. So he sat with us for a little while, and he tells us that he's from Trinidad. And my heart started to jump. And I said, well, I have a young man that I care about very deeply in Trinidad. He said, well, it's not a very big country. I says, no, but it's very important to the Lord. And he began to tell about his miracle that he was supposed to be dead. But because of prayer and intercession, God kept him alive, and he went down to 90 pounds, and he's almost as tall as me. But you know what? He says, I went back to my doctors, both here in Massachusetts and in Trinidad, and they can't understand how come I'm still alive. He was full of cancer of the blood. But God has done a miracle, kept him alive. And he wasn't afraid to say thank you to the Lord. What does that say to you? Is God respecting persons? Does he think that US of A is so special? I've got news for you. We are tools. Tools to be used for his glory. Now remember what I tried to show you. There's seven gifts. Go back, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom. That's 2. The Spirit of the Lord is number 1. Spirit of wisdom, number 2. Spirit of understanding, number 3. The Spirit of counsel, number 4. The Spirit of power, 5. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, 6 and 7. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He won't be afraid of God. Now go to John chapter 1. Because you see, in John chapter 1, God is trying to give us a testimony. Verse 1. In the beginning, before all time, I'm using the Amplified, was the world, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. The Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him. Through whom? Jesus. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Verse 4. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Life was the light of men. And the light shines on in darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or not absorbed it, has not appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. There came a man sent from God, from among the dead. And that repentance, I'm sorry, I jumped too high. There came a man sent from God, I made a mistake, whose name was John. This man came to witness that he might testify of the light, that all men might believe it, adhere to it, trust it, and rely upon it through him. He was not the light himself, so who is he talking about? John the Baptist. But came that he might bear witness regarding the light. There it was, the true light, coming into the world, the genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illumines every person. He came you know, it says illumines or brightens every person. We were told the other day by a prophetic word that we were lighthouses. And some people don't understand what they are because they've never really took a great look at what God's predictions were. Verse 10. He came into the world through the word, world was made through him. Catch it. He came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him and did not know him, have a relationship with him. Relationship. He came so that which belongs to him, to his own, and they who were his own did not receive him and did not welcome him. Now, when you start getting full of the Holy Spirit, some people are not going to listen to you. Some people will not receive you. They'll look at you like you're some kind of a freak, and you are to them. You're very strange. And sometimes when you open your mouth, you're going to get yourself into a deeper hole. There are times when you're out there, you got to keep quiet, and there are other times the Lord will tell you, talk anyway! Amen?
Amen.
And when you speak, there will bear fruit. Verse 12. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name or his nature. The name of a person describes their nature. What's in this man? Verse 13. Who owe their birth neither to blood, nor to the will of the flesh, nor to the will of the man, but to God. They are born of God. They are born of God. It's not a broken record. I did it on purpose. They are born of God. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, his such glory as an only begotten Son. Received from his Father, full of grace and truth. We sang a little song when we first started today. The Father of grace and truth is who? Your Heavenly Father. And if he's the Father of grace and truth, that means Jesus is grace and truth. And that's kind of cool. John testified about him, verse 15, cried out, this is he of whom I said, he that comes after me has priority over me, for he was before me. Who was the firstborn son of all creation? Jesus himself. And John the Baptist is created later. How about you? You were created also in the heavenlies, after Christ Jesus. He takes ranks above me, for he existed before I did. He has advanced before me, in parentheses, because he is my chief. That's an incredible truth. Some people walk around and they are a Christian and they say Jesus is Lord, and I've got news for you. They can advertise all day long. They have no relationship to him. You know why? You can tell by their nature. There's no love, no compassion, no grace, no mercy, and they are abusive. They are abusive. They can say 3 days in a row, I'm a believer, I went to church, I accepted Jesus Christ, and you know what? They never accepted him. They only faked it. They said words that they didn't mean, and they use it as a fluff for themselves, and they build themselves up, and they're full of pride. Never did Jesus walk around advertising that his Holy Spirit within him was greater than his friends. He was always submissive to them and watched them grow up and mature. And he told them, look to Papa for everything. Look to Papa for everything. Look to your Abba. Don't look to yourself and don't look to your flesh and to your brain. Your brain is a wonderful tool when it's operating under the anointing of God. And I'm not saying don't get an education. Some people think, I don't want to go to school. Well, dummy, think twice. If you think you're so smart, you've got a problem already. I should have heard an amen. 16. For out of his fullness, we all received, all had a share, and we all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessings upon spiritual blessings, and even favor upon favor, and gifts upon gifts. Why do you think he's trying to tell us of the multiplication? Because when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are unlimited. Depending on how much living water you pour onto that seed. Verse 17. But while the law was given through Moses, grace, unearned, undeserved favor and spiritual blessings and truth came through Jesus Christ. They didn't come before Christ Jesus. They came through him. No man has ever seen God at any time. The only unique Son, the only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. He has revealed him and brought him out where he can be seen. He has interpreted him and has made him known. Verse 19, and this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites to him from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed, admitted the truth, and did not try to conceal it, but acknowledged, I am not the Christ. Now, that means that John the Baptist shook every authority in the natural realm. When the priests and the hierarchy sent people to test this man, they probably thought he was the Messiah. He said, no. Absolutely not. I am not. Okay? Verse 21. They asked him, what then are you? And watch the next level. Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you a prophet? He answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? Tell us, so that we may give an answer to them that sent us. Who or what do you say about yourself? You can ask the same question of you. He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, the voice of one shouting in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, straighten out the path of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said, the messengers had been sent from the Pharisees. Those are the highly educated people, like Paul would have been. Then they asked him, why then are you baptizing if you are not Christ, or not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophets? John answered them, I baptize in or with water. Among you, there stands one whom you do not recognize and with whom you are not acquainted, of whom you know nothing. Knowledge, relationship, you know nothing. Now, does that also open the door to the reality that John knew all along who Jesus was? You think he knew him? No, he didn't. It was his own cousin. They may have known to each other, but John did not know he was the Messiah. And we can prove it in the next few words. Okay? John, verse 26. John answered them, I baptize in with water. Among you there stands one whom you do not recognize. So he's accusing them in a sense. But it's a word of knowledge, I believe, and with whom you are not acquainted, and of whom you know nothing. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, the string of whose sandal I am not worthy to unloose. These things occurred in Bethany, across from the Jordan, where John was then baptizing. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. If I take the sins of the world away, am I still going to be walking around with guilt? No. And you know, sometimes we still look at the world as a guilty, sinful society. They're only in that state if they continue without acknowledging the Messiah. They will change if they accept him. Verse 30. This is he whom I said, after he, or after me, comes a man who has priority over me, who takes rank above me. Again, look at how he's looking at himself compared to the Lord himself. Because he was before me and existed before I did. Constantly lifting up the firstborn. And that's cool. And I did not know him. And did not recognize him myself. But it is in order that he should be made manifest and revealed to Israel. Be brought out where we can see him. That I came baptizing in water or with water. 32. John gave further evidence saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven. Not a bird, but like a bird. Nature of the dove. Next part. It dwelt on him. And not to depart, which signifies, I've seen people under an anointing of prophetic when they first get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and just like Saul in the Old Covenant, prophesy, give words of knowledge, have visions, and they close themselves down, and that seed is sealed. And that's as far as they can grow because they're using their brain to control everything. It's up to you if you leave your heart open. It's up to you not to close the door to the Messiah. It's not, again, a mistake that many people point out. But when Jesus came into this realm, he came with a desire to serve the Father. He had stripped himself of everything that he knew. Verse 33. I did not know him, nor recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize with or in water said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descend and remain, that one is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So now we know that John the Baptist has a relationship with the Father. The Father is relating to him. What is the signal of the one that is really the Messiah? And the identity is done by the Holy Spirit. It's not an identity of you going in and out of water. It's not you being baptized that makes you a Christian. What makes you a real believer? The unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. Watch 34. And I have seen that happen I actually did see it. And my testimony is that this is the Son of God. Why did I take you there today? Because I'm trying to let you know that those seven gifts of His Spirit are available to you in fullness, just like they were available to Jesus the firstborn. And some people think that they've got it all by the initiation. The first part of my development in the realm of the Spirit came with heavenly tongues. The second part that I was aware of is I had the interpretation of those tongues. The third part came in the prophetic. I began to see my nature, my natural responses being changed as I submitted. Because I can talk about myself all day long. Nobody's going to accuse me because it's my experience. So it's becoming my testimony. I met a gentleman this past week. He's 88 years old and he drove me up a tree. Calvary Street. Because he thinks he's so smart. And I'm not accusing him. I've lived there. But because he's got a lot of natural abilities, even at 88, I let him know he needed to know the Savior and the healer. And you know what he told me? I like the way I am. I said, enjoy the trip. Oh, yeah. Not going to fool around. He said, why do you wear that thing around your neck? I said, because Jesus was a Jew, and he was crucified so that I would come to life. I don't need that, he says. I says, then like I told you, enjoy the trip. Oh, we'll talk again. I said to myself, now, if the Lord has his way as far as I'm concerned, because that's wasting my time. He's a Pharisee. He already has all the answers. He's satisfied. And then he tells me that he was born in Paris, France, and all this stuff and all these things. And he's so proud of who he is. And I said, enjoy the trip, man. Enjoy the trip. I wanted to say, if you were teachable, maybe the Holy Spirit could come and rest upon you and change you and heal you and set you free. If. Now, do I give up on this man? Absolutely not. But I am not going to waste my time and argue back and forth. Because all you do is you end up with a consistent arguing out of the mind. My last words to him is, the secret is relationship with the one who died on that cross. That's the secret. And I walked away. That's the secret. When you decide that you want a relationship with the one who died on that cross, then we'll have something to talk about. And he looked at me like I could feel the arrows. And it's okay. Will I pray for him as the Lord leads? Yes, Gary.
I just want to say the same thing happened to me a couple weeks ago. But it was on Facebook, on somebody's post.
Yeah.
And the post was that Jesus came back when he knows it. And I commented, and right underneath me, some guy that I don't know just basically kind of like attacked me. And
yeah.
I started getting into it a little bit. And it was like the Holy Spirit stopped me.
Yeah.
Just remind me.
Yeah.
Don't argue.
Yeah.
Simply just, I said, God bless you.
Yeah.
I said, God is love.
Amen.
You know, you don't know the same God that I know.
Right.
But it was the same thing. I could feel myself getting drawn into it.
Yeah.
And it was like the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going to, you know. And it's easy sometimes to get, you know, you want to justify or you want to try to defend God. God doesn't need you to defend. All he needs is for you, like you say, pray for this person.
Yeah.
Release them, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to get into the argument, theological, whatever.
How many have tasted what Gary's talking about? Put your hand up. Okay. So you get smart. And I mean, it's not because I want to be a smart person or smart aleck, if you wish. But I also know that if I continued this process of defending the Lord, you're wasting my time. They're not willing to submit or break down their pattern of thinking. Okay? And if they're happy the way they are, God bless you. Amen? Would you bow your heads, please? Say, Lord Jesus, those seven gifts that are listed in Isaiah 11, they were prophesied for all of Israel to see. Centuries before. The picture is the same today. Am I willing? Am I still knocking? On the Lord's door. So that all of what He's prepared, those seven unlimited gifts of His Holy Ghost to dwell fully in me and to remain in me and to establish me as part of His Messiah in a corporate body of believers to work together as one unit before God and to be all of what the Holy Spirit has prepared for me to become. I'm open. I want more, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me. And unite me. Together. With those that have the same passion. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. To really act and react like Jesus. Every time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Can I just say something?
Close your eyes. Just close your eyes for the moment. Don't let the Holy Spirit off the hook now.
I'm sorry.
No, please. Hold. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you. A deep, deep breath. Way down deep. All of you. Again, way, way down deep. One more time. Some of you need to put your hand on your heart. Only if you have the nudge. And what I'm sensing in my heart right now is that some have gotten right to the edge of discouragement. And God is restoring that. The spirit of courage and well-being and the fear of the Lord is coming back in. And He's going to operate within you. And you're going to see some changes in the days ahead. You're going to see some new responses coming out of your mouth and out of your heart to those who have been abusive. And I mean that. Some have been abusive to you and towards you. And He's going to empower you to trust in the Spirit within you, the Holy Spirit. Even in school situations. I'm not saying you're in school. I'm saying in school situations. Learning experiences. He's going to continue to give you grace and give you mercy. He's going to continue to give you grace and give you mercy. And some of you are your own worst enemy because you're so critical of every action and reaction that you end up destroying the joy of the Lord within you. Because you're constantly looking at your behavior instead of the one who already wiped your sins away. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. And dwell in His.
His love and dwell in His love, we'll give the glory to Jesus and dwell in His wonderful love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and dwell in His love. And dwell in His love. We'll give the glory.